What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Binged Podcast. Episode number 8. Right? Yeah, number 8.
Yep, number 8.
Double check.
We have somebody risen from the ashes. We have Mr. Brian Shoup. Hello.
And his name is Jon Snow.
Nope.
Spoiler alert.
You're not cool
Thank you.
Enough.
Thank you.
You're not cool enough. And
thank you.
We also have returning again, John Prosser.
Hello.
Boo.
Thank
Boo.
You. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all night, folks.
Burn them all. Fuck you.
Hold the door.
too soon.
I know.
Door stops.
Okay. So we just had. Okay. Well, first off, today is actually Tuesday, May 31st, because yesterday was Memorial Day for us, and we could not. Well, I couldn't record yesterday. So sorry. Everything's a little day late.
I couldn't either.
Sorry. But yeah, we're getting it
out. We're here now.
We are. We're here now. And we're going to talk about Game of Thrones episode number 6.
Keep talking. Keep talking. I'll be quiet in the background as I do the theme.
Episode number 6, Blood of My Blood. Excellent. Excellent episode. And we're just going to go real quick through everybody's just like general impressions. Just real quick, like 60 seconds. John, go.
Go. One. Two.
I'm not
three.
I don't know.
What?
I know this is gonna be weird of me to say, but
you didn't like it, you fuck?
No, it's not that I didn't like it. It was just kind of I think I was spoiled the last like 4 or 5 weeks. No, 4 weeks to be exact, because the first episode kind of sucked. I was spoiled the first or the last 4 episodes, and this was just kind of, I realized this was another setup episode. It was calmer. But there was something, there was just something about this episode that I did, couldn't keep me. Like, I didn't even watch the whole episode all the way through.
What?
I finished the episode is what I'm saying, but like, I, not in one sitting, I actually stopped watching for a second and then continued watching. Wow. I know that's weird of me to say, but, if that gives you any sort
okay,
of first impressions,
insight, Brian,
great,
go.
I thought it was a fantastic episode. I like the slower ones where there's more drama and more dialogue, and this was great. It revealed a lot of other potential plot twists. We got to see Aerys for the first time, which is badass, and we also got to see Benjen. I like it a lot, so it was a good episode.
Oh,
Jordan.
Wow, thanks. You kept it real short and sweet for me. John, you still suck. Just
Sorry.
Kidding.
You said 60 seconds. Oh, was that for all of us?
I did 16 seconds.
Thanks, John. Never mind. You hated the episode, so you therefore you suck.
Fuck you.
I loved it. Honestly, it wasn't as action packed as probably the other episodes, but it ranks among the top for me. One of my favorites of the season.
That's what's up, Jordan. Wow. That's why you and me got horse mass together.
That's right, Brian. Thank you. There was so much information just in the first 30 seconds of the episode, and it just kept me. I was like, oh my God. And then Benjen comes back, and then the Drogon comes back, and oh my God, it was awesome. So much stuff, so much to talk about. I'm so excited to talk about the rest of the episode. John, are you excited, or do I have to kick you out?
No. I'll just
we'll bring someone
out.
Who cares in, like Benjen.
Goodbye.
You don't care about Benjen, you don't care about Forehead Man? Fuck you.
Forehead Man.
It's not
forehead.
That I don't want to sound like I didn't care.
No, I know.
It was just kind of like
with you.
It was meh. I was mad.
That's fair. That's fair. Then we have your perspective and we have mine and Brian's.
Yeah.
So
good.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Our first scene was what I talked about. It was the one of my favorite scenes. Actually, we're beyond the wall. It picked up right where episode 5 left off. We have. I keep forgetting the girl's name. That's
Mira.
Mira.
Mira. Mira. Joe Reed.
Mira. Mira is.
Mira Reed.
Mira. Mira is carrying.
Mira. Mira beyond the wall.
Fuck you, John. Let Jordan talk.
Wow, more haikus. Great. Mira is carrying Bran away from the White Walkers via the end of season 5. They're still running away from. Three-Eyed Raven got killed, and he got touched by the Night King, blah, blah, blah. And he's still, like, getting all that information uploaded to him from the Three-Eyed Raven. So we're seeing like, half-second clips, jump cuts from, like, the history of Game of Thrones, from what we've seen, even from prior to what we've seen. We saw Aerys, so we saw Mad King, and he's yelling, burn them all! We saw Wildfire exploding. We saw Ned Stark get killed again. We saw scenes from the Red Wedding. There's a whole lot.
A dragon flying over Westeros.
Yeah, we saw a dragon flying over a city in Westeros.
That was actually from earlier in the show. Daenerys had a dream about that.
Five trailer. Oh yeah. That was another thing. Man, I want to bring this up. About? Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. It's on you.
So I don't know if Jordan, you sent something along or
I sent a lot of articles this week.
There was something last week that I wanted to talk about and I somehow forgot. When Daenerys has those like what was that place she went into? She followed the creepy guy, the bald guy.
That was season four. Hold up. I forget. I'll Google. Hang on. You keep talking.
Anyway, she had all these like visions when she went into that building, and one of them was like she went into King's Landing.
House of the Undying.
That's it.
Oh, that's
Thank
right.
You.
The
she went into
King's
place. She went into King's Landing or whatever, and it was like snowing.
It was all fucked up. Yeah,
it was all snowing. But then I realized because I forget where I read it. That wasn't snow.
No, it was ash.
Well, it's what if she's seeing like literally. Into the future.
And Mallory's barking.
Did she bark? I have noise canceling headphones on.
Okay.
She was like seeing into the future and like
she saw the Red Keep burn down essentially.
Yeah, fucked up by some dragons.
That's right.
Or it was just like blown up and that was snow coming in because it's winter. I mean, because
winter has came
all over the Red Keep's face. Yes, Jordan, yeah. That's where I was going to go with it too.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
I think I thought it was ash from what I understood.
Yeah, it seems Maybe. Like ash
I mean,
to me.
It was a vision, so we don't really know, you know.
She didn't seem very cold.
Well, she's also fucking Daenerys Targaryen.
That's
so.
True.
And it was a dream.
She doesn't she doesn't seem burnt either, so.
True. So the rest of that scene after Bran like kind of wakes up, White Walkers are coming and attacking them, and Mira is like crying, I'm sorry, I messed up. And then
they were going to kiss, and then he got cock-blocked by Benjen Stark.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know who it was yet at the time, but yes, it is Benjen Stark, man on the horse with a flaming mace gauntlet
That was
thing.
Like a whip.
That was super
of,
cool.
Like a
on,
chain.
It was on fire.
See, okay, with that whole scene, so there's a character in the books. He showed up whenever Sam first took Gilly back to the wall. He was like escorting her back. He was running away from the group, and that's where he killed the first. He became the Slayer. You know, he killed the White Walker.
Oh, okay.
There was a character that helped him. His name was Cold Hands, and all we knew was that he was once a brother of the Night's Watch and was riding like an elk kind of beast. You know, had antlers and things like that. Everyone assumed it was Benjen, so I think this was the show's way of being like, look at this, look who this is.
It's
and
Benjen.
Like, whenever fucking he appeared, I yelled, I went, Cold Heads! And then Bridget looked at me and was like, what the fuck are you saying? And then it was Benjen.
Warmers?
So I was like, oh, you know, okay, well, that'll work. I mean, everyone thought it was him anyway, but for a while, people thought Daria was Benjen because they would never seen in the same room together, you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's very interesting. That was, I loved it.
It was great. That was,
yeah.
I don't want to get too crazy because I can talk about this shit forever.
Yeah.
But
we'll
can
continue.
I theorize about something?
Sure.
Or do you want to, okay. So,
unless you
want
to come back to it when the scene finishes up, when we come back to it.
Yeah. Let keep describing everything, you know?
Okay. So,
yeah, go for it.
Next scene, I'll just go over it real quick. You can take the next one after that. We have Sam and Gilly show up to Sam's old place. I forget.
Right.
Hornhill. That's right.
Yep.
And we only see his mother and his sister, Tala.
Tala.
And he's like, whoa, you're a woman. Oh, my God. And
you got tits.
And you could tell that they're both looking at Sam like, oh, my God, you're lovely.
You're a little less fat, but you look really cold.
Yeah,
you nice look, lady.
And Gilly's you, and they even were like, Sam, little Sam, he's cute.
They were so excited. You can't even
really because it to me it looked like conceited.
No. I like the way it came off to me was they were just so happy to see that Sam actually met a girl and had a kid. True. Like they were ecstatic. Like it was a really good parallel between looking at his mother and his sister, and then cutting to his father and seeing
much of an asshole,
Randall Tarley be like, "Well, you're still fat." Like, that's all it was. Like, I don't care if you got a kid or you're the king.
Yeah.
You're still fat and I hate you. So. Yeah.
And then before the awkward dinner, with that scene, it was so awkward. I hated it almost.
I loved it.
Tommen was speaking with the High Sparrow and also speaking with Marjorie. He let her see her for the first time. And she's like, "Oh, you think I'm mad?" And then they're plotting something behind our back, which
yeah, they really are.
It's very interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like some shit's gonna go down next.
As you're going, Jordan, I'm actually writing down notes to come back to because I have a lot to say.
Okay, that's fine.
That's a bad sign.
That's fine. Honestly, I like how this is feeling. We're just rolling through the scenes, and we can talk after. Then we're back. Oh, I left it on you. Sorry.
It's okay. I don't know who you're talking to.
Then we cut right back to Sam and Gilly having dinner with the Sam's parents and Dickard. What was his brother's name?
I think it was
Dickard, wasn't it?
I think it was Cuntard. I don't remember.
No, definitely not that. I thought Dickon.
Who cares?
It was Dickon.
I think it was Dickon, but it doesn't matter. He's a bitch.
Yeah, he was like, Sam's like, "Oh, this is good meat. Was it from today's hunt?" And they're like, "No, fat ass. It's from last week. We didn't get to cure that one yet." Sorry. He was trying to be nice. You could tell that he was really trying to like...
That was like going to your jock dad and like as being a gamer and being like, "You see the sports ball? Like, they did a good goal, huh?" And they're just like, "Oh, God. Fuck.
Please shut up.
Please go back to where you came from."
Oh, God. Ooh. Ooh. Next up. We're with Arya. They're still in Braavos, right? Is that where this place is at?
Yes, that's still Braavos.
We get to watch that play again, and we see Lady Crane.
Lady Crane, yeah, that's it.
And she's actually a fantastic actress as an actress, you know, the play. And she, you could tell Sansa, fuck. Arya was like, she was very like contemplating, like, do I have to kill this lady? Mm-hmm. And then they did that thing. Like, you know, I've always said every little aspect of every Game of Thrones scene means something. And like they have her in the foreground and they have that girl in the background real blurred out. And then they focus on her and she's sitting there mouthing the words. Immediately, I was like, that's the girl that wants to kill the Lady Crane because she wants her part. And that's pretty much Arya was like, "Oh, she picked up on that because she's like the smartest girl that's like 12 years old in entire Westeros."
she's the smartest girl that's 12 years old ever.
Yes. And so she came back. She did poison the rum with whatever. And then
I bet it was the Tears of Lys, which is what killed Robert Baratheon. Robert Arryn.
Robert Arryn.
Wait, Robert. John Arryn.
Wow.
There's so many names, and I'm slightly intoxicated. Give me a break, okay?
It's a vacate cat bar.
Oh, I was like, what? Continue, please.
Okay. So Arya comes back, and she ends up pushing the shot glass out of her hand, and they're like, what the hell? And she decided not to kill her.
Like, that one wants you dead.
Yeah, she's like, careful of that one. She wants you dead.
Well, it was, you could see that, like, there was a moment of like relatability there for her. Cause I mean, number one, Arya didn't get to see Joffrey die. She wasn't there for that. Obviously.
That's why she was laughing her ass off when it happened.
Well,
yeah, she was like,
and then once Cersei, like this,
everything was like super goofy, you know, like the whole play has been goofy and vulgar and stuff. And this was like, this actress was really acting and she had talent and stuff. And she flat out, when like they met and stuff, and she told Arya about like her story about how she ran away and became part of a play. She likes putting on pretending to be other people. That's literally what Arya is doing.
Yeah.
She ran away from home and she's pretending to be other people, and she just related to her, and that was it. That was all she needed.
Yes.
Arya's not Arya likes to kill people, but not the wrong people.
You're right. She's very conscientious.
She's a calculated cold-blooded murderer. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
As long as we're going that route, okay, that's fine.
Honestly, I really like, I mean, we've talked before about how characters have developed, and like Arya just continues to grow. And I don't know, she's awesome. Like you totally thought she wanted to be this faceless man this whole time. And now you could tell she still has that Stark in her.
Yeah.
Right. I was actually earlier today, I was talking to Chelsea about this stuff. I can't wait to talk about, it's like the rise of the Starks again. Like they're rising back to power. Winter is coming, bitch.
The few that are left.
Yes.
And, I have a lot of theories on Arya too.
So. Do you? We'll have to come back.
I'm taking notes, and I already have three topics I want to cover.
That's fine. Honestly, I don't care. We could talk for an hour and a half.
Can we just have a segment that's where Brian theorizes? Is that just going to be...
Okay. I'll have music for you and everything. next up, we're at King's Landing, and this is the weird scene with... What's the Tyrells... The Tyrell
Mace guys? Tyrell Mace. And Olenna. Oh. She comes out of the carriage.
Mace. Oh, his speech and the big feathers on his head. He's like, Demandus will stop here.
It was a good speech, but I think the editing just really made it seem awkward. You know?
I think it was meant to be because like Jaime's looking at him like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, can we just go save them? Can you stop dicking around with your feathers?
Yeah.
And with like, your feathers?
Okay, feather boy, let's go.
So, and then what?
How badass was it when Jamie rode up the fucking steps?
Yes.
So fucking badass. Oh my God.
And then he didn't do anything?
Yeah.
And then his horse more likely got stuck at the top of the steps and he just sat there awkwardly. He's like, well,
I really want to know like if that horse actually climbed like those stairs.
Yeah.
Like,
in real life. Horses can do steps.
I saw that. It's like, what?
Cows can go up steps too, but they can't go down.
Good.
I thought, back to the day. Like, that's why I made it the thumbnail. Like, as soon as I saw him ride up, I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is, I just loved the way that was shot.
It was really dramatic. Yeah.
And you like, I keep repeating, what is so funny?
Nothing.
Is my voice doing the thing?
It's doing the thing.
Just let it go.
John, we're committed now.
Okay. I'm going to finish what I'm saying and then I'll fix it.
No, don't.
I have to. Okay, so I love badass Jamie. I keep saying that. Like I'm such a fan of him. Like being like, we're gonna take what we want. Blah! And this was just so awesome. him saying all the Septons will die.
Yeah.
And I love badass Jamie. Okay, proceed while I fix.
I agree. Badass Jamie is awesome. Oh, shit.
God damn it.
Badass Jamie. I'm sorry. I have to leave it on you for a second, Brian. While I wipe the tears from my face.
You want me to talk about the final scenes?
No, it's okay. Like,
okay,
I'm good now.
Okay, good. Bro,
Badass Jamie is super cool. And like we started, like there's those couple seasons, like after he lost his hand and he started like falling in love with Brienne almost. Like he was a different Jamie. And like he was soft, handless Jamie. And I don't know. Like I like him the way he is now. I hated him originally, like when he was.
Oh no! I loved
original badass Jamie. He was a dick. I loved him.
He was perfect.
But he's back now.
And well, he's
a more. Rounded.
He's a more fucking person, but
yeah, he
can't do shit. I mean, he's not a good swordsman anymore, which is like his claim to fame.
He can ride horses upstairs.
Like. There was, okay, Bridget and I just got the urge again to rewatch Game of Thrones, and we are currently on season one. We just watched the episode wherein they make it to the Vale, Catelyn capturing Tyrion.
Yeah.
And he's in the Sky Cell, and he calls Bronn to be his champion.
Yes.
Before that, we haven't Jaime.
Seen him in forever.
Yeah, well, yeah, Bronn's off being a lord with some fat mistress.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But... Tyrion goes, he wants his brother to be his champion. And everyone goes, oh, like, oh shit. Like, we're in trouble. Because that's how good Jaime was.
Yes.
And now he's just,
He's just handless Jaime. How are you doing, John?
I'm good. Is it fixed?
Yeah. I think, cool. Wait, talk again.
Talking again. Okay, check you one.
Sweet.
La, 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 la. hold the door.
Oh, and also, Jamie epitomizes at least. Well, okay, so I need to preface by saying that book Jamie and show Jamie are very different because as you read book Jamie, you get his internal monologue, and it's actually a lot deeper, and he's a much more complex person than him being a cocky douchebag with beautiful hair. He is like the epitome of a slacker, you know?
Okay.
So, like, he doesn't want to be Hand of the King because it's a lame job and it's boring.
Yeah.
And he always talks about how he wishes he could be honorable, like the knights that he aspired to grow up as, you know, like Sir Arthur Dayne, who we saw earlier. He actually trained with him slightly. You know, it's just he's just really cool, and it's nice to see him returning there because he was kind of a little bitch.
Yeah. Recently. There was something I want to, well, when we come back and talk about stuff, there was Jamie. We saw Jamie for a split second in Bran's vision, actually. After he killed
Mad King, younger Jamie, he sat on the throne.
Yeah, he sat on the throne. And I think originally we talked that he didn't do it, but he apparently did.
No, he did that. Yeah.
Oh,
he sat there whenever Robert and Ned came into the throne room. Jamie was keeping the throne warm, essentially.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha. Never mind.
And for a second, he was just like, hey, you know, like you like it? Like,
get off.
But, yeah, exactly.
So then the rest of that scene, we see Marjorie was going to do her Walk of Atonement, and
damn it,
High Sparrow, right? Damn it. High Sparrow says, there's no Walk of Atonement today. She already atoned for her sins by essentially bringing the crown to the faith. And, all the gold cloaks come out, and they have the Star of the Seven, or whatever.
Not to be picky, Jordan, but those are Kingsguard. Gold cloaks are the City Watch.
My bad. And these are different Kingsguard, right? Like these are no,
they're the same Kingsguard.
No. Like what I'm saying is like these, because I read an article about how like these were people born higher than the rest of the people, or they're wealthy and stuff, and they let go of all their wealth and everything to follow faith and blah blah blah.
Well, that's just knights in general. Really,
the point is that like the article was basically saying that he's pretty much untouchable because these people are not like the Kingsguard. They can't be influenced by Cersei, and there's something fucking driving by. They can't be influenced by Cersei. They can't be influenced by any gold or anything like that, which they kind of like... The article separated them from the traditional Kingsguard, making Tommen look like he's just this untouchable beast.
Well, I think that article... I didn't read the article you're speaking about, but... In the book, a similar thing happens with all this, and Tommen reinstates something called the Faith Militant, which is kind of like that. It's knights and things like that, specifically for the Seven. So I think the show kind of merged the two into this Kingsguard. I didn't even make that connection, but good thinking, you know.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Well, that makes I'm like super angry.
Okay.
Like, this puts... I keep saying this, that I don't like the Septons.
You mean the Sparrow?
Didn't we clarify the same thing?
The Sparrow.
I wasn't sure who you were talking about, to be honest.
Well, I don't like any of that stuff, and I don't know why. I don't want any part of it. And I know
I know what you're talking about.
I know what they're trying to do, and I know it's making me feel that way. Like, oh, you know, he's not wise, he's young, he can be easily manipulated, which he has been at this point.
Yeah.
But I just like making it, when he walked out, just the look on his face put like Joffrey feels back into me.
No,
I don't want this.
You're going too far with that. Tommen's not that type of person. He's really just trying to...
No, I know I'm not saying he's like evil. I know what you mean. I know he has, in fact, I believe he has totally good intentions. He's just following what the quote-unquote wiser man is telling him.
Well, but that's,
I'm not saying he's an evil person.
But that's the thing. Okay. He's like, he's easily manipulated, whereas Joffrey did whatever the fuck he wanted to do. Like, he was not manipulated by anybody.
I should have clarified. I'm not saying
You mean like
Joffrey.
A smug look? Is that what you're referring to?
I'm not saying he is Joffrey. I'm just saying it... related to how I felt with Joffrey, just like the anger I had inside. I'm sorry. I don't mean that he is like that he's evil or he has bad intentions in any way. Just the fact that like we're in this position with Tommen made me feel the way I felt about Joffrey.
See, that's interesting that you say that because, my view of the show has ever been has forever been tainted by the books. So right. when I saw that scene, I immediately thought, oh, good. Now Jaime has no reason to be in King's Landing anymore.
This That's is true. Yeah.
Immediately I mean, where I went, just because I know what I wanted to happen. Yeah. So.
And we do get that later. So we know where
we do, exactly,
Jaime,
yeah.
Jaime goes back to what? The River Run?
He goes to the Riverlands to yes. take back River Run from the Blackfish.
Okay, that's right. But we see the Crown and the Faith join as one thing now, and then
they also disavow Jaime.
Yeah, they kick Jaime out of the Kingsguard,
which was rude. I mean, you could see Jaime's face; he was betrayed because that's his kind of a son, you know.
Well, kinda. He is a son.
Kinda.
You could tell he kind of wanted to say that. He's like, I've been in the Kingsguard since before you were born, because I knew when you were born because I put you in your mother.
I incested you so hard earlier.
Well, Brian, I think you had said, I don't know if you mentioned on sometime during Binge, but I know that you told me at least that in the books, he's not there.
In King's Landing?
So this kind of like wrapped itself back around to the books.
No, it did. And that's, I didn't want to go into it before we got done talking about the total episode because, like, I put a message in earlier that Brian gets to do a little dance today because I'm so excited about what's potentially to come. And I
wait, are you
going to
do
guys,
a dance right now?
No. It's more of a metaphorical dance with words. Okay. But, yeah, I don't want to get too far into it because, like I said, I'm taking notes and pun notes, and I have things I want to really touch on.
Yeah.
If Jordan doesn't mind, of course.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to it.
Yeah, but that's why I just continue, you know.
Okay. So then after we're done with King's Landing, we're with Walder Frey again. We haven't seen him since, season 4? Since the Red Wedding. I don't think we've seen him since, right? Am I right on that?
He's been away at Hogwarts being Professor Filch.
Okay, that's right.
Well, like I'm pretty sure that's right, Jordan, because as soon as I saw that room, I was like, we're back.
Red
like
Wedding
I haven't been in this room.
I forgot
for so
how
long.
How good of an actor he was. He makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Whenever he's being the Frey person, I forgot his name for a second.
The Frey.
Walder.
Walder. Yeah.
Just
I forgot their all name. Fucking Walder.
Walder.
Walter
White.
We also see for the first time Edmure.
Oh yeah,
he's
Edmure after he got that was the first his first appearance after the Red Wedding as well.
Yeah, and we thought everything was all fine and dandy with him because you know he married Walder's daughter. And
can someone refresh my memory on him because I don't remember.
Edmure is the like the rightful heir to Riverrun. He's Catelyn's brother.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so because of Robb Stark, he was promised to one of Walder's daughter because Robert was supposed to marry one of his daughters.
And John's like, Jesus.
Robb decided to marry the other lady, the
Talia.
Yeah.
Wait, is that it?
I don't know. Foreign lady that Catelyn didn't like and now she liked and then they all died. And then Edmure is all happy because Walder's... Yes. And Walder's daughter was actually super hot, apparently. And Edmure was like, oh, well, this is fine. And then bedding ceremony. He probably...
You just call me Wally D. And then he got
probably
up
didn't
there.
Even get, like, you know, one of those bedding ceremonies. He just got immediately put in chains.
Keep in mind, which are fucking cruel by nature. Like, do you know what a bedding ceremony is?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah. Don't they, like, they pick both of them up, they take them to the bed, and then they, like, watch them.
No, they legit, like, the guys undress the girl, the bride, and the women undress the men.
That's...
As they carry them up the steps. It's actually fucking weird.
It's really weird.
That's,
and then
most of these are arranged weddings, and it's just like, okay, now I get to do this.
And then don't they like, sit there and watch it happen?
I don't know for sure. I'm
pretty sure
on
they
that,
do.
But
that's
they just up. All take out their iPhones and start recording.
Yes, John.
Pretty sure that's how.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, that's what happened at the bedding ceremony I went to. So
great.
And then the lamest scene in the show comes.
Yeah,
up.
We see Jaime and Cersei.
No, I was referring to the Daenerys scene, but go ahead.
Oh no, we're not even there yet. Not even yet. No, Jaime and Cersei like make out for a little bit. That was boring. He's talking about going back to the Riverlands. Blah blah blah. No, then we get back. We go back beyond the wall and we see that the horseman was actually Benjen. And
You're just a little dead, kind of.
Yeah.
Everyone, you guys, like, everyone knew it was Benjen, right?
Well, you can see his fucking forehead. That's what, you know.
Yeah. His five head.
Yeah, six head, whatever.
Well, I just didn't know if, like,
oh,
if people didn't catch it as soon as he came into the scene.
I mean, when he was sitting there,
well, you know what I thought, so.
When he was sitting there, I was like, oh, shit, that's Benjen.
Well, like, that's, like, I knew about Cold Hands or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I didn't.
But, like, I didn't.
Because you were reading about it,
right? I don't
right?
know that much about him, because, I haven't read the book, so when I saw the horse rider, I immediately assumed it was Benjen.
It's true. So, yeah, and he's talking, he's, like, what, half dead? He's, like, half White Walker. And he's like, the three-eyed raven sent me. He was, what, killed by White Walker, and then the children saved him by putting dragon glass in his heart.
Like, yeah.
Like, he,
so
like,
I don't know
like
what he is.
Mid-transformation, they were like, stab, and it stopped the infection
is
before
that why
it
his, like,
reached.
His face looked super weird?
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay.
And that's why his eyes aren't fucked up either, if you noticed.
Yeah, I did notice that.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. So I think definitely Cold Hands confirmed for that.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, if he could enter... Remember when the Children of the Force had that force field up around the cave? If he could enter that. I'm curious where he falls on from alive and dead, where he falls.
Somehow, because he... Brand got touched, like, everybody was able to cross that. Supposedly.
Oh, I guess that's a good point.
Like,
yeah,
everybody
maybe that
got
doesn't,
it in there.
You're right.
That was super weird. You would have thought that... I don't know. I forget. There was an article that I sent you guys that Bran has. He has the warging ability, and then there's that other thing. It has a name, like green touch or something.
Oh, green seeing.
Green seeing.
Yep.
Thank you.
I wonder where you're going with that.
Yeah, I forgot what it was called. But
it's okay. It happens. There's a lot of things.
Last scene. Well, then we'll get to Brian's segment.
Yay!
Yay!
Brian's segment.
Yes. We're back with Daenerys, and. You know, she's like, oh, there's a noise over here. I'm going to go check it out. And she goes over there and she disappeared for a while. Everybody's sitting there dicking around with their horses. And Dario's like, I'm going to go check it out. And then Drogon.
Fucking dragon.
Drogon appears in the sky.
Massive Drogon.
Massive Drogon. And then she gives a very
lame,
sure, but she gives a speech that's reminiscent of season one, which is essentially...
That was the lamest thing she's done.
It was
lame because it was like out of place.
It was the same speech
that
Khal Drogo gave her. But yeah. You know, she's like, we're gonna go ride wooden horses and tear down stone tents, blah blah blah. Same shit that Khal Drogo
blah,
said.
Blah blah blah.
But this is one thing that we'll talk about this. Maybe we can start with this one, Brian. Just get it out of the way since you don't like this one apparently. The theory that Daenerys is actually turning into the villain of Game of Thrones.
That's actually, I was just finishing typing that.
Yeah.
I think she's really kind of leaning towards becoming a lot like her dad.
I don't think that far. I think she just has a lot more Conqueror vibes because during that entire speech, she didn't mention anything about taking
freedom
back
or anything.
Her throne or freedom. Literally just,
she said,
let's
guys,
go fuck them up.
She said the Dothraki will come and rape Westeros. Like, those were in her speech. She said,
I have
we will
such
rape
a theory about this.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, they talked about, like, they almost made it, like, a very strong point a long time ago is that she said, I don't want to be my dad. I don't want to be the Mad King. So, the fact that they, like, kind of put a lot of emphasis on that makes it seem like that shit is going to happen. Maybe not to the same extent, because I have a theory about why the Mad King went mad
anyway.
Yeah, because
Arya wanted to be a faceless man, too.
I know where you're going to go with the Mad King theory.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're going to go hold the door on it.
Yeah. Or, but not, okay.
That'd be so lame, geez.
No, but it's not, I don't think it was Bran that did it.
You think it was Bloodraven when he was trying to figure shit out first?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope that's not it. That'd be so. That'd be such lazy writing.
Because he was like the one. Okay, good point. But you know,
speaking of lazy writing, can I just point out something purely based on the show?
Yeah,
go for it.
Okay. Not only was that like the lamest thing that she's done, that was a really bad scene, just in terms of production and how they paced it. It was so bad, like. That has to be one of like the worst scenes that they did that or that I've ever seen in Game of Thrones. Just the way it was paced, like she was talking and it was just so I understand like for the show's sake and so everything is clearly heard or whatever.
There was guys in the back being like, What'd she say?
she would say something and there'd be a pause and naturally people would like freak out and scream and cheer.
Yeah.
But like they would only cheer after she like finished a point or finished a thought, which is just very clearly just based on delivery of how the writers put it.
But the
entire scene was just bad and just not a fan.
Okay.
And I'm a huge Daenerys fan. Everyone knows that.
That's true. Yeah, you would totally have the sex with Kelly C.
I would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that publicly, but yes.
You just did.
Okay.
Where do we want to go back?
If you're ready for this, I have 6 things to cover.
Oh my God. Okay, let's do this.
Okay, let's get into this. Okay. So, rolling back to the beginning. Because I haven't been on the podcast for a couple weeks.
This is true. I know. You got to let it all out.
I got to ga-ga-ga. So, going back to Bran and hanging out with Benjen. I have a theory regarding how they're going to go about, instead of just spitting out information about Jon's parentage, essentially what's going to happen is Bran's going to have a vision where he goes back to the Tower of Joy, and then we're going to see some, we're getting close to where things might actually happen and where these theories might actually spoil things. Can we talk about this stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the point of the show.
Well, I know what you mean, but earlier in the season and earlier in the episodes of Binged, I was giving very popular fan theories and things that happened in the books, but it seems like they're actually coming true pretty quickly. So I just didn't want to pass that line, you know. So essentially Bran's going to have the thing about Jon and the Tower of Joy. And instead of just seeing that, he's actually going to talk to Benjen about it. And maybe Benjen can confirm it.
Because I think Benjen knows.
Well, he might.
There was a scene back when Benjen and Jon Snow were on the wall. I think it was season 1. Where Jon, they were talking about families and stuff like that. And Jon Snow's like, I don't care about any of that stuff. And Benjen said, you would if you knew what it meant.
Oh, well, I think that was... No, that was actually... That was John and Benjen talking at the dinner Starks hosted the Baratheons.
No, that was on the wall.
No, I actually remember this exact scene. John was drunk on wine. Oh, wait, I think I'm getting the book confused.
Yes, you are. In the show.
God damn it.
In the show, because John and Benjen had only really talked once or twice.
There was more in the book, of course.
But yes.
I don't remember John ever being drunk on wine.
Yeah, it was like in the books, he got drunk at a feast and he cried and ran out of the room. It was really fucked up.
Okay.
But so moving on from the reveal of, you know, John being a fucking dragon. So Sam obviously took his dad's sword. Okay. He took Heartsbane.
Okay? Which we didn't know up until this point where that Valyrian steel blade was, right? I didn't think we knew where it was.
I believe his was one of the only ones we actually knew, like in terms of the people, like, you know, that build the lore, like they actually knew where Heartsbane was.
Because what? There were 3 and one was lost, wasn't it?
The one that was lost was, I believe, either one of the Lannisters or the Targaryen sword.
It was the Targaryen one because she was actually Dragon Rider. And
yeah,
because all 3 dragon riders had a blade, and the one
I believe
lost
it.
Arya was talking about it when she was like a little cupbearer for Tyrion. I mean, Tywin.
To be honest, I don't remember if that's actually true or not. Like, if that's actually where the current lore is, that might have just been a story. I don't like remember enough to actually comment if that was, you know. But anyway, I have a theory that Sam took the sword kind of out of spite, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. But I have a feeling. What's going to happen is that Sam is going to go back to the wall at some point and just in time
to
wreck
some White Walker shit.
Well, no, because Sam couldn't do shit with that fucking sword. It's like half his weight.
That's true.
So Sam's going to be at the wall and then the White Walkers are going to be like being all dramatic and coming over. And then his dad is going to follow him in some form. Okay. And Randall Tarly is considered to be one of the best generals in the entire kingdom. Okay? He's going to see with his own eyes the White Walkers.
Okay.
And then it's going to like give validity to all these claims, and everyone's going to be suddenly very serious about it. I hope this happens, because that's really badass.
That would be pretty sweet.
Because there's no reason he just took that sword. He can't do anything with that thing. It's huge.
He can't swing that shit.
And like Jordan repeats every episode, everything in the show has a meaning when it happens.
It really does. And
there's a reason he took that blade.
Exactly.
And I doubt hope it's that's because it. Sam's going to go fuck some people up.
Sam's going to try to swing and be like, and then fall. So after that, going back to the Arya scenes, the way they were done whenever she failed killing Lady Crane, I got the feeling that when the waif told Jack and Hagar that she had failed, he said something along the lines of, such a shame.
Don't
a
let girl her suffer.
A girl has many gifts.
Yes.
In the back of my mind, I feel like he has known for a long time that she was going to do this.
Yeah. Totally.
And maybe killing the waif is going to be the final bit of her training, because, in all honesty, the waif has been kind of
she's a bitch. I hate her.
She's been really arrogant, and that's not a faceless man trait that's valued.
That's a good point. That's a really good point, because I was even curious, like, what's going to happen to Arya? It looks like she staked out where she was. She was like, I'm just going to wait for the waif, because she's going to come here.
Right.
And try to beat my ass. Now I have the needle, and I'm going to stick her with the pointy end. kill her.
So, also, before we get away from that, in the books, I wish they would have touched on this in the show. So, no one knows where Arya's wolf is in Emyria. She was, she ran away. In the books, people kind of got some hints, because Arya would have these dreams where she's warging into Emyria. And she's hunting with this huge wolf pack that's gathering around the winterland or the Riverlands, you know, doing random things. And it just sucks that the show hasn't touched on that. This wasn't like, I just wanted to
I'm
say
sure
that.
I'm sure we'll get there at some point.
I hope.
It'll have to. Won't be until, I'm sure Arya at one point might come to Westeros, and that's when we might see it.
I would hope, because Arya's not going to die just because she's the only point of view we have in Braavos.
Yeah.
And if she were to die, there's literally no reason for any of her story.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to take off from the waif.
Or Jack and Hagar.
Exactly.
What's he care?
And also, I feel like... So the show ended on Daenerys' speech. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Everybody close your eyes and think about how badass this would have been. Move the scenes around. Have Daenerys do her little talk. Cut to Arya finding Needle. Okay, and she goes and sits in the chamber. The music is all quiet. She blows out the candle. It fades to black. And then you hear her reciting her list again. And that's when the credits roll.
That would have been cool.
Right?
I like that. I think they could have cut the whole Daenerys scene entirely.
I need to be a producer on Game of Thrones.
Or a director. It. Well, make sure, Brian, it's on you that they listen to this podcast.
Right, I'll go tell the Daves or whatever.
The Daves.
So after that, I wanted to head back to Marjorie. I feel like she still has plans, and she's not going to let.
Dude, she's faking this so hard.
You know what I mean? Right? You There's no way.
The look that she gave, when they showed up, she was like, "Oh, thank God, they're actually here."
When Jaime said they're all going to die, she kind of laughed. She knew she wasn't going to. If you look, it was the thing that Jordan mentioned, how they showed during the play, they kind of it was a focus thing. They kind of refocused the camera to reference something else.
Yes.
That's what they did. It was on Jaime. The focus, quote unquote, focus was on Jaime, but the camera focused on her, Marjorie. And it was just the look on her face. She's totally faking this. For Loras, and that's it.
That's true.
That's got to be all it is. I mean, there's
that's
no
a
way
really
she
good
would
point,
allow.
Because she's been telling Loras, you got to stay strong, and really, she's just putting on a front.
I think that's the only time we kind of saw her being honest, because she said, "They sent me in here to talk to you."
Yeah.
Stay strong, all that stuff. But other than that, we've seen her appear to change her mind and whatever. And I think that she really, it hit her also when Tommy came out and she was like, well, crap.
Yeah. Well, I think, I feel like that's, she is like, oh, I can work with this, because she knows she can manipulate Tommen too.
Yeah.
And I think that switch immediately happened. I'm sorry, Jordan, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure her and Tommen didn't just happen. That was when he came in. Oh,
maybe she converted him to that idea. Yeah,
100% that's what she did.
I like that. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Because they cut to that scene earlier where it was just her, you know, the High Sparrow was like, do you want to see her?
Yeah.
Because the High Sparrow's thinking, oh, like, you know, they're going to convert and then...
You're totally right because we didn't get to hear their conversation.
No, not at all. And so, you know, the High Sparrow's thinking, oh, I'm going to get the crown involved with us and we're going to have power now. Like, this is all power trip for him, I think.
So Marjorie is playing him hardcore.
Yes, exactly. So now, you know, Marjorie and Tommen were like, let's join up. Let's do this thing. It's the only way that I'm going to get out of here. So Tommen's like, hell yeah, that gets you out of there. So you're not in.
I'm less mad about Tommen now.
So
yeah,
that's the case. Maybe I was the only one that thought that for a little while.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was not in my head in the least bit.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. I'm smart.
So, Jordan, you are smart. I immediately had to jot down my notes about Jamie making his trip to Riverland.
Yes.
To River Run. Now,
and they teased that for a second, too.
They did. Now,
we'll come back to this.
Last episode, Sansa sent Brienne to go find her uncle, the Blackfish, in River Run for reinforcements. Right. Okay. And Jaime is going to the fucking Riverland.
And
do you remember what I told you, motherfuckers, what happens in the books when they connect? Who makes an appearance?
No.
Lady Jamie's Stoneheart. Dick? Lady Stoneheart.
Oh my God. Wait, yes.
I forget who Lady Stoneheart is.
Okay. Catelyn. So fucking hardcore spoilers. Catelyn was killed at the Red Wedding. She had her throat slit, was dumped in the river. The Brotherhood Without Banners, Thoros of Myr and Beric Dondarrion, their troop, they picked her back up and brought her back to life. And now she is seeking revenge on everybody who's been... So I told all you motherfuckers what happens in the books whenever Brienne and Jaime go back to the Riverlands together. They meet up, and then immediately something happens with a character named called Lady Stoneheart, which is Catelyn Tully or Stark.
No! Oh my God, what?
That's gonna be... What happened?
No, I'm just...
That's his reaction to what you're saying.
Oh, okay. I thought something awful happened.
What?
That's gotta be where the season ends. It has to be.
That would literally be amazing.
It would.
I'm
pretty sure I would jizz my pants.
We'll find a spot to talk about
Jordan's
this.
Jordan's broken.
Like, I am, because the Starks, man, they're coming back.
In a big undead way.
Like, Sansa is finally not a whiny little bitch anymore, and she's, like, taking charge. She's, like, helping Jon take the North back.
Yeah.
And we have Arya, you know, destroying things over in Braavos. She's becoming who knows what. She's going to be awesome.
No one.
Jon Snow's, you know, risen from the fucking dead, and apparently Catelyn's going to be risen from the dead now, too.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Brian, question. What?
Okay.
I know you probably... reference this before.
Uh-huh.
How does she come back to life?
Because the Brotherhood of the Banners.
The Brotherhood Without Banners have Thoros of Myr, who's a red priest. He's the one who kept resurrecting Beric Dondarrion.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yep. And essentially, she's kind of revenge ridden. So she's kind of like nuts a little bit. And okay, this is going to be a big issue. So she's going to. Brienne is sworn to serve her, you know, and protect her daughters. And then. Catelyn died. And then her and Jaime kind of had a connection and he gave her his sword.
Yeah.
She's going to see the Lannister sword and like think Brienne betrayed her. So I think this season might have a very dark or at least cliffhangery end in regards to that.
You're right.
That would be amazing.
So if that doesn't happen, I'll be pretty weirded out because it seems like that's where it's going.
That's incredible.
Other than that, we talked about how Dany's kind of becoming a conqueror. So to move a little bit forward,
she's getting nuts too, though.
I have a really good feeling what's going to happen. This seems too perfect. So essentially, Dany's going to go to Westeros and have all this, you know, conquer everything. Okay, and she has Tyrion with her. She has Varys. She has Missandei and Grey Worm. All these people around her. And she sent Jorah away, okay?
to go cure Grayscale.
Yes, he's going to get a cure, and he's going to go back to her side, and no one else is going to tell Daenerys how much of a conqueror and how she's straying so far from her path until he shows up, and he tells her. And then it's going to break her out of whatever madness she might be in.
Madness? You know?
Mad and queen. That's going to be like, Jorah's going to leave her service, essentially, and tell her like he can't follow her, blah, blah, blah. Or they're going to fall in love, and then like Romeo and Juliet commit suicide or something.
Brian, so in last week's episode of Binge, since you weren't here for the last episode, I said that I think, see, that's a good point, too. But like my initial thought was that he's not going to find a cure. Like, I know Shireen found a cure, but Stannis had money, power, and she was young and they caught it super early. And I think that he's just not going to find a cure and go back and totally, like, when she's in some trouble, who knows what kind of trouble she could be in at this point.
Yeah.
With the Dothraki and the
Second Sons and the...
Yeah.
All of them.
Like, Unsullied. But Unsullied, that's who I was trying to think of. But I feel like she's going to get in trouble, and Jorah's going to come back and sacrifice his life for her.
I see. I hope that happens. Like, there's a lot of things that could happen. Like, I told you guys about Victarion Greyjoy, and he gets a Red Priest, and then that fucker gives him a molten rock arm. Well, it just so happens that Daenerys has a Red Priest right now. And if she fucking cures his grayscale and gives him a lava arm, that's fine too.
That's
awesome.
So that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of ways this could go.
I mean, she can't necessarily just call him on his cell phone and bring him back when she finds out she has a Red Priest.
Hey, J-Bear, how you doing?
Just like, remember I sent, how far are you?
How far'd
you get?
You're in Dorne? could you turn around? I got this guy.
If you're in Dorne, could you bring the cameras there?
Like, okay, I know this sounds crazy. I got this guy who can do magic. Come back. We're going to set your arm on fire. It's going to be sick. He's just like, oh, Jesus, Khaleesi. And he's going to come back. So,
oh, shit.
That's pretty much all I have for notes.
That's all you had? I had one. Yeah. I messaged you guys before. I was like, oh, yeah, there was a fan theory that I wanted to talk about.
Ooh, what was it? I didn't have a chance to read it.
Brain fart.
Bran farts?
That's what I thought you said. Bran farts, and it's all over.
That's called the Winds of Winter, bitches.
Oh, I just read your message,
yeah,
Jordan,
so
and Brienne, that's correct.
Brienne of Tarth is... Well, actually, I mean, it's not theory. George R. R. Martin came out this past weekend.
It's confirmed, yeah.
Confirmed that Brienne of Tarth is a spawn of Duncan the Tall.
Yeah, Jordan, explain, do you know who that is?
No, you explain who it is,
okay.
Because I don't know the backstory very well.
So, going back a couple hundred years, or actually about 127 years, I think. It's something very specific like that. George Martin, Mr. RR, he wrote a series of like side stories about Game of Thrones called The Hedge Knight.
Yes.
And it covers the escapades of a knight, or rather a squire who becomes knighted, kind of a last-ditch effort, named Duncan. And he's referred to as Dunk, but he's a fucking tall dude. He's kind of dumb and essentially just follows him through his little adventures he has. He ends up going to a bunch of tournaments, meeting a Targaryen. As a matter of fact, what the hell was his name? Aemon Targaryen, the Maester of the Night's Watch.
Yeah.
You know, his brother,
Egg.
who he calls Egg, is the other, yeah, Aegon, the other character in the Hedge Knight series. It's literally Dunk's sidekick. It's literally Dunk. The adventures of Dunk and Egg.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And it's come out that Brienne is actually like a descendant of his.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah. And it,
but she
like,
explains a lot too.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say she's very dumb, but she definitely has a brashness about her where she doesn't get, you know, intricacies of human speech.
Yeah.
But
she's
no,
a little socially awkward.
Seriously, if you guys like want to read a little bit about Game of Thrones history that goes back into the Targaryen rule and, you know, covers a more like, I guess, peaceful time, they're only about like a couple hundred pages, and those books are really good. There's only three and they're fantastic. So you got to read them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But Yeah, I like that one. I'm happy you brought that up because I had forgotten Jordan.
Yeah, I was super excited about that. I sent you guys a lot of articles this week.
Every time you find an article, I wake up and there's like three.
Yep.
Jordan's like, oh my God, read it. Read it now.
I was like, that one.
The Nerdist stuff is always so good.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Then that last one that I sent you was actually, it went more in depth in the Vanity Fair.
About Daenerys?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I have the list of all the scenes that we saw, all the little snippets that we saw from Bran's visions. Yeah. Let's pull this up. So they said we saw three main scenes split up, and then we saw a bunch of smaller ones. Saw Lyanna
too.
What?
Didn't we see Lyanna?
No. Maybe.
We saw her hand covered in blood.
Was that Lyanna's?
That's another thing I read. We're just assuming it was Lyanna's hand after giving birth, and Ned was next to her.
Oh, I gotta find this. Hang on, you guys keep talking. I'll try to find some evidence.
Okay.
Because I have this up somewhere.
So there are three big bits we'll focus on first. It says so we see King's Landing pyromancers playing with wildfire.
Yep.
Blah blah blah. King Aerys's Targaryen's pyromancers, who will satisfy the Mad King's obsession with burning people alive. The Mad King himself is seen for the first time sitting on an Iron Throne, yelling "Burn them all." And the third one is Jaime Lannister murdering the Mad King and then sitting on Iron Throne himself. Legendary moment. Blah blah blah. So then we see a whole bunch of little ones. We see there's a bunch of shots from the battle at Hardhome, which is the one where all the White Walkers came down and almost got Jon Snow when he was beyond the wall. It's like the first big White Walker battle. Yeah. The White Walkers turning one of Craster's baby's sons into one of them. We saw that. Many shots from the Red Wedding. Children of the Forest creating the White Walkers. We saw that. We saw Bran's vision encountering the Night's King. We saw last episode the wildfire explosion in the storehouse. Much younger Bran falling from the tower. We see dragon flying over city. We see Ned Stark's execution. We see Daenerys naked with her newborn dragons.
Woo!
We see a flock of ravens flying through snowy woods. Ned Stark being executed, a bloody hand closing into a fist, and an empty landscape in the far north of Westeros. And that one was the one that really freaked me out. It's just like the mountains and it's wind. It's like,
I cannot find this because I think the one you're talking about with the bloody hand or whatever, I think it might be Arya, not Lyanna. But I cannot find the fucking pictures.
Real quick, I wanted to bring something up. That Jordan just reminded me of.
You let me search.
Kind of related, unrelated. Speaking of Daenerys being naked, so it was going around that it was just a body double.
It was not a body double.
She actually tweeted Emilia Clarke and was like, "Nope, it's me."
Those are my boobs.
She basically explained that because it came out there's a clause in her contract that states she won't get naked anymore. Which is semi-true, semi-not. She said that she specifically asked that she not be naked unless it's actively progressing the story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Not just, like her brother touching her.
Right, just not... So no fondling of my boobs, but if it's actually, moving everything forward and it's an important piece of the story, then yes. And obviously, if she's on fire, her clothes come off. That's the whole thing.
That does make a whole bunch of sense.
But Cersei was a body double. So I hear.
Emilia Clarke that's crazy.
Confirmed that it was her. The clause in her contract is just people just got it wrong. Reddit got it wrong, basically.
Reddit got it wrong.
Oh, okay. You know what? I see the bloody handprint now, or rather, you know what you guys are talking about. I saw a different one of Arya. That's definitely Lyanna. That's
got to be. How do you figure out just by a fist?
Well, the one I saw of Arya was her wearing a blue shirt. And it was in a different position. That's her.
My only theory is because of Jordan. You keep mentioning it that there's no reason we're seeing something for no reason.
With the hand,
you're right.
But
it's referencing.
But it's Lyanna also sure. I can go back and say so why'd they show the horn? You can't just be it's to blow on,
What? We already know why they showed the horn.
Not for real, though. Yeah, exactly. Like
what horn? I'm sorry.
When the Night's Watch found a bag of dragon glass and there was that horn.
Oh, yeah. The horn of winter.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about this in front of Brian.
No, we didn't, actually.
We should.
That should be used to take down the wall.
Yes.
Or rather, okay. They thought it was going to be used to take down the wall. Yeah, that should be the purpose.
We actually have, because it makes me click, the Winds of Winter, we have not 100% confirmed, but the names, the season, well, episode 8, 9, and 10. We already know next episode is The Broken Man.
Right.
Episode 7.
Tyrion.
Yeah. And then 8.
No, that's Tyrion. Theon.
Oh, shit. 8 is called No One. And it says, obviously, we're talking about Arya Stark here.
Danny.
Right.
One can only hope this episode marks the end of her seemingly perpetual stick training, finally giving her the chance to leave Braavos and play a little more active role in struggles with House Stark. I'm curious about that.
You say House Stark?
Stark.
Or Stark. Or the Stark. It's what we basically just said, where she does become no one.
We'll see.
That'd be interesting.
That's very possible, yeah. But she may become no one and still be able to leave Braavos and help.
Right.
But I don't know. Around. Episode 9, Battle of Bastards. It's not exactly hard to figure out who's talked about here. What's interesting.
That's such a ham-fisted fucking title. They didn't call it anything.
The Winterfell. Climactic between Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton.
It's probably going to be like the lamest battle. It's not going to be one. It's going to be like a complete misdirect.
It could be. Yeah, you're right. And then
I hope Brian's right because like
that's so lame.
What I mean is like the season is leading us up to the what it looks like the end of the season is going to be the climax of the battle and whatnot. Yeah. That's what it's leading us to believe, and it would be such a good misdirection if we ended up seeing Catelyn by the end of the season.
It'd be fantastic.
Just out of nowhere. So awesome.
Episode 10. Last episode of the season is called The Winds of Winter. It says, with a title like that, you can pretty much bet season 6 will close on the White Walkers charging a full-on assault on the wall, with the suggestion that they may be successful in bringing it down. There's a possibility that the key to it all could all be Bran himself. The mark of the Night King's touch has already proven its ability. I should cut to me. Proven its ability to break protective magic, as happened in Bloodraven's cave. Meaning, if he passes south of the wall, he could have the potential to break whatever magic has so far prevented the White Walkers from breaching it before. That's interesting. I don't know.
Go ahead, Jordan.
We'll make the Battle of Bastards a little irrelevant when there's a full army of humanoid ice gods swarming into Westeros.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was just gonna it's hard with the delay.
Yeah,
I know. I was gonna say that I wanted to say something earlier, just that the show actively brings up characters that we're going to interact with later on. And I believe they did bring up the Brotherhood Without Banners in this last episode, like as a throwaway comment.
Yeah, they did say the Brotherhood at one point.
So like, if that's any indication, they always echo back. There's they don't waste dialogue. Well, you know exactly what you were saying, Jordan.
You're right. Well, let's look at, they teased episode 7 a little bit, and I have a short little scene list of what we see. We see Jaime. Obviously, we know he's going to River Run with the Riverlands. Yeah. We see Cersei speaking with Olenna. We see Sansa. I don't know where she's at. Is she at?
Sansa's still at the wall with Rob. Jon. Jesus.
Yeah, but she looked like she was like with a Bolton though. Like, it looked like somebody that wasn't from the wall or John. It looked like a Bolton that she was talking
They could be
about.
On the road. They could be talking to other allies of House Stark.
Because I know they were at Molestown last talking to Peter.
Oh, maybe that's where they are. You know, they could be moving around.
Yeah.
Talking to different allies or the Hill Tribes or things like that.
Yeah. We also see Yara and Theon for a minute. So we'll see a little bit of that.
Goddamn Yara. That still throws me off. Her name was Asha.
We talked about books. That.
I know.
then we see what was the Wildlings leader name?
Mance Rayder.
Mance Rayder. Mance Rayder is talking to the rest of the wildlings and was like, I think he said, I'm trying to remember the line exactly. He said, like, he died for us, so why shouldn't we? So, like, it sounds like the wildlings.
Oh, no, that's Tormund Giantsbane.
Oh, okay.
That might Sorry. Mance Rayder was the guy with the black hair.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, died.
But it sounds like he's getting, like, the wildlings to kind of join, like, Jon Snow's side, which is pretty cool.
It's cool, but they're not going to be of much use.
Maybe.
Tormund is a badass, but he's still just a wildling.
Yeah. But then the very last, like, 2 seconds of the clip was just Ser Davos. He says, the dead are coming.
The dead are coming.
The dead are coming. But
and he's only got 2 fingers or something.
Yeah. But, no, it's such, like, it makes me think that winter is coming. It's like... Like, coming around, it's not really, like, the winter is coming is actually, like, the White Walkers, the dead are coming. Like, that's what I think of. When they say winter's coming, it's not, oh, shit, it's about to get really cold. It's, we're having some fire, like, some ice humanoids coming to attack everybody.
There are zombies on the wall. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, so much happening.
Yeah, I think that's a good cue.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked the listeners' holes into oblivion.
We hope you liked it.
They're sore.
We raped and pillaged your ear holes.
Oh my God.
There it is.
There it is.
Thank you, Jordan. No more radio for us.
Ear holes. I'm sorry, guys. All right. So, yeah, that sounds like a good ending point for the episode.
Absolutely.
Especially
after what you yes, said. Yeah. It's back. John, leave it.
No.
Yes. Leave it, John.
What's happening?
John, say I want to play a game. Please.
I want to play a game.
Oh, shit. All right. Thank you, Brian, for coming back.
You're
returning
welcome.
From the ashes.
Like a phoenix.
I hope we'll see you again next week. Next Monday, which will be June 6th.
Nice job. Just knowing the dates.
I pulled up a calendar really quick.
I did too.
Oh, God damn it. Brian, where can they find you on Twitter?
They could find me at Bshoop with 4 O's.
That's right.
That's where I put polls about John being a penis or not.
I had a poll too, and Twitter deleted it, I think. It's gone. John, where can they find you?
What?
I can't find it.
All right. John _ Prosser.
God damn it. And at Front Page Tech.
Follow me on Twitter.
That's right. And at Front Page Tech.
You peasant.
Where us three actually do a podcast there too every Saturday.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, I wasn't there for the past like 3 weeks. And you can find me at Jordan Zero, Z-E-R-O, or just follow us at Binge Podcast, where I'm trying to be more socially not inept with our audience.
Socially there.
Thanks for listening.
Trying to be
Thanks
more socially watching. Social.
Hope you learned bye-bye. Something.